Thank you for joining me, Estra, this Saturday, August 9, 2014, for Talking About You with Estra from Seattle, Washington, USA. This is your car accident radio channel, bringing knowledge and support about auto insurance, employers, short and long-term disability, personal injury claims, and much, much more. Congress approved ERISA legislation which provides unfair advantages for corporations. In fact, there is no recourse in the laws to date which provides compensation for employers holding back benefits just because they can. Most employees are a single paycheck away from losing everything. Unfair legislation such as this encourages taking advantage of workers instead of treating them with respect and dignity. Imagine being in a job you enjoy, for which most people today is rare, unfortunately. Most disabled who are able to return to work realize it is a privilege to be able to get up each day and perform daily activities, including work. In my opinion, for most, the joy of bringing this is unimaginable unless you've lost the ability to function on some level and must deal with such restrictions. The saying, you don't miss your water till the well runs dry, is a very applicable situation in this case. And an even worse experience from my perspective is the use of ERISA legislation, power, and influence as an excuse to deny a long-term disability claim by an employer whom you trusted and had faith in, putting life goals and career aspirations in their hands for 8 hours a day, giving your best, and holding many of their employees in high esteem. Ouch! The betrayal may be worse than the injury for most workers. Workers like family? Really? But the true problems lie with U.S. Congress, both the House and the Senate. They are responsible for the written legislation which self-insured corporations must follow. Prospectively speaking, employers and insurance company lobbyists have left a gaping hole in the lives of the injured by allowing these organizations free rein to do as they please regarding these claims. By giving them the power to deny employee benefit claims without any repercussions, can you believe that? Without any repercussions, allows their investors to profit off the suffering of past employees. Why would they write into legislation no options for employees to be compensated for losses incurred for breached bad faith decisions by these corporations? It's like telling them it's okay to deny disabled their benefits. Today, let's talk about why ERISA hurts employees who become injured in car collisions. Today, we'll spend our time talking about an introduction to ERISA, why so many people are suffering the same results, denied long-term disability claims, Congress's role in this fiasco, why ERISA reform could change the tide of unfair practices, and a summary of how ERISA hurts employees. Place your questions and comments on Twitter, hashtag Estra's Radio Show, or Talking About You with Estra on Facebook. I'm listening to what you have to say about your car accident experiences. Instead of developing a new definition, I found several which are easy to understand and do a good job with the explanation. First, I want to start with the word preemption, because we hear it often, yet may not understand its meaning. On the website Rottenstein, they provided a good description. Quote, it says, what does preemption mean in law? And it says, in law, the term preemption refers to a situation in which a law passed by a higher authority takes precedence over the laws passed by a lower one. Usually, preemption is used interchangeably with federal preemption, meaning that a law passed by the U.S. Congress must be applied if it conflicts or overrules a law passed by a state legislature on the same subject. However, some torts, meaning civil court cases also deal with the same state preemptions in which a law passed by a state legislature takes precedence over an ordinance passed by a local government, like a city council or zoning board. For instance, premises liability cases in which someone is injured in a slip or fall accident might deal with a state preemption. Federal preemption is based in the U.S. Constitution Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Clause 2, which states that, in plain English, thank good they have that part there, the Supremacy Clause means that federal laws will always trump state or local laws on the same subject, end quote. So, in summary, what preemption means is that the Supreme Court decisions will trump state decisions, which trumps local city decisions, and down, so forth and so forth. So, hopefully, this will be clear. We hear it a lot with attorneys quoting court cases that set standards to base their arguments on. The next word is fiduciary. And this is another word tossed around without much explanation. Dictionary.com describes it best. It says, quote, as a person to whom property or power is entrusted for the benefit of others or another, end quote. And in terms of ERISA, this would actually be your employer or a contractor hired by them to protect your employee benefits. The problem with this model is, well, at least in my opinion, is that most employers view this from more of an investor or company profit than fiduciary responsibilities of employees. Simply put, this means your employer, who typically is insured, or actually self-insured, which means they are your employer and your insurance company, are placed in a position of power and trust governing over your benefits, supposedly on your behalf. Hopefully, this stresses the importance to look over a company's financial report in hopes of discovering how they treat workers injured and whether or not they pay out claims. Believe me, you do not want to work for a company that you assume will be treating you fairly, only to find out when you need the most that they don't. The next definition we're going to talk about is the one for ERISA itself, which stands for Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974, which also has amendments attached since enacted. The definition from the legal dictionary, actually the freedictionary.com, is the one I'll be taking time to highlight some of the important language in this definition. Quote, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974, known as ERISA, the short version of that, right? Chapter 29 of the USCA, which is United States Congress Amendments. I hope that's correct. I thought it was United States Constitutional Amendments, probably. Is a federal law that sets minimum standards for most voluntarily established pensions and health care plans in private industry. I'm going to be stopping quite a bit through this definition because it's a bit long, but it has a lot of important things that you need to focus on. The first thing it says is it's federal law. Who created this federal law? Congress, right? And how did they do that? With an Employment Retirement Income Security Act in 1974. And this was voluntarily established pension plans and health plans by private industry, right? Not government, right? Not churches, just private industries, companies that people are working for, okay? And the purpose of it was, it says, to provide protection for individuals enrolled in these plans, right? So this was the initial reason and why it was actually written. So this legislation was written, I'm going to read this sentence again because it's probably one of the ones that has the most punch of information in the sentences I'm going to read. So I'm going to repeat that. It says, the Employer Retirement Income Security Act of 1974, ERISA, is a federal law, did you hear that? Federal law that sets minimum standards, not maximum standards, right? Minimum standards, and maybe that's part of the problem too, for voluntarily established pensions and health plans in private industry, right, to provide protections for individuals enrolled in these plans. And that's another thing. Did it say companies? No. Did it say lobbyists? No. It said to provide protections for individuals enrolled in these plans. So from my perspective, this was the goal of actually enacting this legislation. And unfortunately, from my perspective, it protects corporations, it protects lobbyists, and does the least for the people who need it most. And that's the individuals it was supposedly to be to protect. Okay, I'm going to go on. It says, ERISA regulates the financing, vesting, and administration of pension plans for workers in private business and industry. Okay. The 1974 enactment of ERISA by who? Congress. So Congress is the one who actually wrote this, designs it, amends it. Right? So when we ask for ERISA reform, we are talking directly to Congress. Congress, if you haven't written your legislation, which I haven't, which I will do this week, saying this needs to be changed. There's something wrong when they're enacting this. They're getting lots of feedback or pushback from the people it's hurting, and we're still waiting for them to act. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read that. It says, the 1974 enactment of ERISA by Congress was intended to preserve and protect the rights of employees to their pensions upon retirement by establishing statutory requirements that govern such matters. Okay? So this is how, and by the way, ERISA has several different portions about, and they all have to deal with protecting the individual's benefit plans, health plans, all of those things that are privately monitored or recognized as being by private industry. So from my perspective, the reason why this legislation even came into being was the fact that there was an issue with employers not doing the right things by their employees. Okay, I want to go to the next sentence. ERISA requires retirement plans to provide participants with information including important details about plan features and funding. I need to stop here for just a moment. Most of the time, these employers provide summaries of the plan. If you want a detailed copy of the plan, typically you must ask to receive a copy. The summaries usually hit the highlights of it. A lot of times, the things that are emphasized, in my opinion, are the things that companies want to emphasize versus some of the things perhaps you really need to know, which means really looking at the fine print detail in your health plans and the policies. Because you may not know something that's really critical that may impact you if one day you have an unforeseen illness or an accident or something comes up and you need to actually apply for the policy. Go on here. ERISA also describes fiduciary responsibility for those who manage and control assets. It says, listen here closely, requires plans to establish a grievance and appeals process for participants seeking benefits from their plans and give participants the right to sue for benefits and breaches of fiduciary responsibility. Now, from my perspective, there's two problems with this. First, the grievance process is managed by the companies. The grievance process, or actually, in my opinion, in fact, the application should be done by a magistrate, taken out of the hands of these companies so that the individuals this ERISA is supposed to protect have a fair chance of actually being evaluated in a fair and objective manner. Okay, so first of all, their grievance process, in my opinion, has a lot of things in there that are not conducive to resolving the issues. In fact, for many of the people who are deserving of those benefits. Okay, so when you have, you know, the fox guarding the hen house, you know, you're really not going to get a lot of the outcomes to protect the hens. You know, the foxes are probably pretty happy because things that they need, they're able to get. Okay, so on the part of suing, which is another issue, you can actually sue them in federal court, which is a problem to me. I think a lot of these cases need to be moved back to to state court, where most people who are one paycheck away from not having any money to actually fight this anyway, a lot of the ones that go to federal court, these corporations, multi-billion dollars, first of all, they spend most of the time in federal court fighting each other. They're very equipped with it. They're really kind of outranked the average person who knows very little about taking this on and being able to do something. So right from the beginning, there's an unlevel playing field, and most of the employees end up losing, which to me defeats the whole purpose of ERISA. So anyway, when you go to court, first of all, why would Congress actually put anything in legislation that prevents people from being able to be compensated for unfair, bad practices, things that companies do in order to prevent having to pay their employees out these benefits? And most of the times, the length of time it takes to get there can be 2 to 10 years. It can take an extended amount of time, which truly hurts these families who don't have any type of support or finances to be able to live on. So by the time you get there, you sue them. The judge doesn't even compensate you for the behavior. They just say you can be paid what was previously owed, which certainly doesn't even cover most of the actual pain and suffering, nonetheless the expense and legal costs that you would be incurring at that time. So from my perspective, the systems are already set up against the ERISA employee. Okay, I'm going to move to the next one. It says, number of amendments to ERISA expand these protections that are available to health benefit plan participants and beneficiary. One of the ones is called the Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act, which is known as COBRA. If you've ever had to actually activate COBRA, you'll know that you end up paying an astronomical amount for health insurance. Yes, you still can be covered, but most people who first of all usually have lost their job or are sick or injured, their resources are limited. So if you're taking and requiring them to pay almost 2 to 3 times what they were initially paying, most can't afford to do so, and they usually end up losing those benefits. So thank goodness, from my perspective, I would not even consider COBRA. Thank God for Obamacare. I personally would go to the Affordable Care Act and register. From my understanding, you can check this out. If you've recently lost your benefits in your company plan, I don't think there's a waiting period where you can actually join in and sign up for Obamacare. And it's definitely more of a reasonable price. So I would certainly do that. That would be great to do that. Okay. It says the next amendment was the Health Insurance Portability and Affordability Act, which is HIPAA. I think we've actually become more acquainted with that in recent years. And this was for people who have pre-existing medical conditions or might otherwise suffer discrimination in healthcare coverage. So at least we're moving into the right direction. I just want to mention a couple more in case it applies to you. You can go and take a look at these amendments. They include Newborns and Mothers Health Protection Act and Mental Health Parity Act, and a Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act. So those are the main points that I wanted to get through in the definition of ERISA. And you can see why I wanted to actually take it piece by piece. Fortunately, the legal dictionary term for ERISA is almost exactly the same as the Department of Labor's description. This department is responsible for overall management compliance by self-insured corporations. This is where workers can file a complaint against their employers. However, when looking over who participates on the ERISA Advisory Council, far too many of these companies have input versus the average citizens, that means us, who need a fair shake through this process. So from my perspective, that's one of the first things that needs to change. You need to have more people who, and particularly since this ERISA was designed for individuals, if it's supposed to actually represent individuals, not that you don't want to have more than one side at the table, but from my perspective, the individual section is certainly not very well represented. Although the comments made by individuals describing similar experiences over and over again via internet are buried by individuals or corporations who would prefer their conduct remain underground, there are far too many employees who are sick or injured, and unfortunately, their long-term disability has been delayed and denied. And this number of individuals is growing, and they're continuing to speak out. Think for a moment of being injured, yet comforted that a decision was made in advance to sign up for your company's group self-insured policy, never realizing someday there would be a time for use, yet it turns out that there actually turned out to be a need after all. Most employees have no idea what degree some employers will go to in order not to pay benefits. Most workers are trusting and relying more on their relationships that have developed and transpired over the years. But can you rely on this? In fact, recent surveys have come out stating employee satisfaction with employer benefits plans are decreasing. The hidden numbers of disillusioned employees who received a letter in the mail from their employer or long-term disability contractor can vouch for levels of actual dissatisfaction after being denied benefits initially when the claim was filed, 2, 5, or even 10 years after benefits had started. How often do we hear these statistical numbers about the denials of long-term disability by self-insured employers? Traditionally, they're not out in the open. Otherwise, in my opinion, many would be dropping out of their group insurance programs like someone yelling fire in a crowded nightclub. Imagine your surprise. You would not be alone. In fact, current ERISA legislation has enough loopholes for insurance and employers that I'm amazed personally that any benefits are paid at all. First, can you show any other congressional legislation where you cannot sue for unfair or bad faith behaviors? Only in ERISA self-insured group insurance policies is this possible. Who would have thought this type of injustice would pass through our Congress? Well, okay, we're in the 113th, and they probably are going to be noted as the worst Congress, so let's hope that maybe they can turn this around. Let's not lose our hope completely in them being able to do something. When they pass legislation for corporations to be paid out immediately for disasters, why did they not consider this also to be the case for individuals? Especially for those typically who are unable to foot even an additional month of bills, how can individuals be expected to wait years? And how fair is this? Corporate payouts immediately? Individuals under ERISA 2 to maybe 10 years. How fair is this? Why would anyone be so disrespectful to those in such pain and suffering? And most importantly, why hasn't Congress made reforms to ERISA to correct this horrible injustice? Money? Greed? Too much power in the hands of a few? Congress less concerned with the playing field? We don't have the answer to that. Congress could let us know, though. The one thing you can do is decide to vote in 214. Voting in 214 for people who are interested in the average citizen's life, not ignoring what the majority values, such as ERISA reform. From my perspective, there will be no changes in Congress's behavior until they are held accountable for their actions or the lack thereof. ERISA reform is a great place to start these changes. This Congress has passed the least amount of legislation, and what they have passed has not been mostly in the average citizen's best interest. And talk is cheap, and in my opinion, each year its value becomes less and less because the actions are not attached to words, especially in Congress. It's time to do something about it, and I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready to vote in 214 for people who are willing to attach their words with action. Each and every program, I want you to personally know that your car accident concerns matter. And I, Esther, personally realize outcomes depend on knowledge. And the more knowledge that you have, the better decisions you can make, and the more confident you are in the decisions that come your way. This is the reason for talking about you with Estra's radio show, Estra's TV, and blog. Locations where you can join me for additional conversations include Facebook, on Talking About You with Estra, Estra's blog tips, and disability counter surveillance. You can also find articles, audio, and videos on my official website of Estra's radio of Estra's blog tips on Blogger. And also you can listen to archives of all radio shows on iTunes at Talking About You with Estra, and also here on Blog Talk Radio. If you've been facing harassment and intimidation, make sure that you sign up to visit me on Instagram under Estra's TV. You'll see firsthand experiences of these incidents. The goal of ERISA in the beginning started out as a genuine good idea to protect workers. The need for legislation of this type is the first indication that many employees were not getting the fair shake when applying for benefits. The purpose of this legislation started out to be in the best interest of workers, and in my opinion, it turned out to be in the best interest of corporations. As when money gets into the mix, via lobbyists or corporations mainly managing ERISA, well-intentioned legislation can turn into unfavorable positions for those who need it most, and that's the employee. In my opinion, the biggest mistake in this legislation is the little recourse available to the insured when requesting ERISA benefits from self-insured employers. And Congress could easily change this. The second mistake, from my perspective, is allowing the same company that benefits from a claim denial to review workers' claim. Approving insurer does nothing for their bottom lines and provides no incentives to be fair. Let me say that again. Approving insurers' claims do nothing for the bottom lines of employers and provides no incentive to be fair, especially with no repercussions for unfairly denying claims. Congress, again, you can change that. You can make amendments to this so that if a company is found operating in bad faith against an employee, the employee has the right to be compensated for the harm in which these companies are exposing them to. It is up to Congress to amend these laws in order for them to be leveling the playing field for workers for which the laws were intended. There needs to be timelines for benefit payments to workers, and perhaps a magistrate, someone outside these companies, to review claims as part of the process. In my opinion, this would cost less and would be a part of the plan. This would protect employees from having to fight their employer in federal court, which primarily favors large corporations, which typically fight their cases there. And also to allow these to go back into state court, which provides an opportunity for sick and injured employees to receive justice at a lower cost. I suspect less money would then be pocketed by investors and employers and rightly benefits those in the plan who it was set up to protect. Making changes to the current legislation, which provides a neutral third party with no ties to self-insured corporations or their associated lobbyists, such as a magistrate, to review validity of claims would ensure a greater chance of a fair claim review. From my perspective, fiduciary responsibility over ERISA is difficult for some corporations to strike a fair balance between investors and sick or injured employees. Another important thing to do is remove the clause placed in employer benefit packages which allow abuses against their insured. They provide opportunities for employers to cancel or eliminate benefits paid. Making these games illegal would also aid in the claim process, which would be more fair. From my perspective, they are disguised for their protection, the employer's protection, and used to eliminate legitimate claims. Allowing the sick and injured to be self-sufficient after an injury helps them to take care of the medical, physical, emotional, and financial well-being of themselves and their families. In my opinion, when receiving the benefits they paid premiums on, it allows them to recover quickly, provides the safety net promise, and creates trust between employer and employee. Another question I would ask Congress is to consider not giving corporations outs on defining disability. Social Security disability insurance has one of the most restrictive requirements, and in most cases, far more in-depth than corporations. Yet many of these company clauses placed in the policy plans allow them to escape paying claims. Again, Congress, it is up to you to do the right thing by workers. Revise ERISA so the loopholes are eliminated for corporations. Tighten ERISA so it provides fair coverage for people injured in car accidents. Remember, Congress, the lives of these people are in your hands, and your choices and decisions you make impact whether their lives move forward, and they're counting on you. Again, make sure to stop by and say hello and share your experiences. It's nice to have a place to come and talk about car accident struggles and the victories. As with life, it is indeed about the journey, your journey, which makes a difference when you share it with others. Also, recently released videos include harassment and intimidation of the injured. And this is common for people who file auto insurance claims, employer benefits, Social Security disability claims. They find themselves facing harassment and intimidation in hopes of getting injured to eliminate their claim. This is a must-see video, and it's free. It's out on Estra's TV, YouTube, user Estra's blog. Surveillance Harassment Uncut, it's a real-time demonstration of what many people injured in car accident who file claims experience. See the day-to-day intimidation tactics which may be overcome. Meet Esther as an introduction about the journey of being involved in a car accident and what this experience may entail. Disability Surveillance 101 is the video that shares what to look for, privacy retention, which most people need, documentation, and encouragement. Also, make sure that you take a look at the 214 Car Accident Weekly Planner. It's still available this year if you're involved in a car accident. Just stop by Esther's official car accident site anytime during the year. Pick up a copy. Make sure that you also pick up Car Accident by Esther, the book. Having both of those two helps in organizing, documenting, and information retrieval. I understand firsthand your situation. I have dealt with insurance companies such as USAA, which I'm actually dealing with now, GEICO, PIMCO, Progressive, Farmers, Allstate, Premier, Blue Cross, United Healthcare, Medicare, Lifewise Insurance Company, which is the LTD company that I'm dealing with, along with employer SNC-Lavalin Construction, previously known as Enron, and I've also dealt with Social Security. Many changes to ERISA would provide insured with the hope of at least having a fair shake when their claim is being evaluated. Employee survival risks increase when denied auto or long-term disability insurance. It's unfair for most sick or injured to lose not only their jobs, but assistance with the livelihood which they were told would be available if an unforeseen event occurred. ERISA can be a force for protection of workers. When more workers are included in the decision-making, fair legislation is put in place, and corporation views of their fiduciary responsibility for the workers and not the investors or themselves is a priority. If you've experienced a claim with your employer, Share your experiences on Twitter, hashtag Estra's Radio Show, or on Talking About You with Estra on Facebook. I want to extend a special thank you to Audacity, InternetArchives.org, and the musician Celie Grande. Now there are many car accident surveys available for your input. Visit hashtag pound Estra's Accident Survey on Twitter. Only with your support can we demonstrate the experiences of people involved in traffic collisions. Please take the 3 minute it takes and tell us about how you've been affected. Again, you can find it on Facebook on Talking About You with Estra, on Twitter, hashtag #Palmtine, Estra's Accident Survey. Let's meet back here next Saturday, same time hopefully. This August has been a little difficult for me, so I've been a little late at times, but I promise you I will get them out there in that same day if at all possible. So we'll be back next week, next Saturday, 1:30 p.m. No matter what you're going through, no matter what happens, keep your head up and never give up. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of Free Speech has allowed the Estra's radio show, TV, book, and brand to state her opinions in addition to her callers and guests, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Estra is in no way liable for the misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, LLC, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington, 98168. Thank you.